I want to talk to you guys for a little bit about whether or not, whether this wide row cropping, mixed cropping system might improve corn systems for smallholders. And that's been one of the big questions today. And I'm going to talk just a tiny bit about some data I had. Then I'm going to bring in some literature from the intercropping world and talk about that. And then we can all discuss maybe a little bit about how and why this system might work really well for smallholders. So we start again, even though we just had a wonderful discussion, we start again that the solar corridor system is a wide row spacing system taking advantage of lateral light and opportunities for a second crop in the corridor or the floor between the wide rows of corn or another crop. And in the case of the original solar corridor work, unlike some of these other technologies that we will talk about, the plant population per hectare or per acre is maintained the same. So if you had 30,000 plants, you have 30,000 plants, but split between the twin rows. And of course, it was developed using a field corn model, a model crop. But there are other crops that might fit well in it too. For smallholders, you have a wide row planting system that could possibly improve yield, possibly improve resource efficiency, economic efficiency, and it lends itself to smallholder systems where they don't have access to giant irrigation systems, they don't have access to giant tractors, they don't have access to mechanical harvest and things like that. They're using smaller machinery, if any at all. They have limited access to crop management chemicals. They may or may not use herbicides, they may or may not use synthetic fertilizers, or when they do, they have maybe less of it at their disposal, whether it be because of an access issue, they can't get it down the road, or they can't afford it, or whatever. So those things. And then often on smallholder systems, there's a lot of hand work on the weeding. There's a lot of hand weeding and things. And then, of course, they're smallholders, so they don't have huge tracts of land, so they have to maximize what they get off of each hectare that they have. And many of them have less than a hectare to work with. So if corn of the main crop yield can be maintained or close to maintained or even increased in a solar corridor type system, then the benefit of having the second crop on the same ground, you're diversifying the risk a little bit. If you can maintain, if we can find hybrids and varieties that work well in this system for the main crop, then we add a second crop on that same piece of ground, and we're reducing some of their risk. Potentially, we're increasing their profit if we don't increase the cost of making this system work. And that was brought up this morning a little bit. If the costs don't go up too much, and they could conceivably, if you made the system too complicated, there was a gentleman over here that talked about how complicated these systems could possibly get. You have to be careful about that. And of course, you're modifying insect and disease pressure. Because you're modifying the microclimate, you're modifying how predatory insects, we talked about that this morning a little bit, talk about a little bit about how disease pressure might be mitigated because the crop is not touching the crop, so there's less leaf-to-leaf transfer of disease and things like that. And then you may or may not increase water and nutrient use efficiency. In theory, you could, and there were some great posters on cover crops and wide-row corn and things yesterday in the session. I don't know if they'll be up again today, but some very interesting data on that. In Leroy's original experiments, he showed that the flexure hybrids, these ones that produce multiple ears under certain conditions, or that fill their ears really well, and several other traits that he talked about, can produce similar or greater yields on both a plant per plant and a per hectare basis. This was, as he showed a few minutes ago, was highly dependent on hybrid. He didn't talk about this. He did some work with peas as a floor crop, with Picum sativum, what I call English peas, because I live in Mississippi now. But winter peas, what a lot of folks know it as. He was able to find a suite of herbicides that made this system work in the U.S. high input system, which is one of the constraints of the system potentially in our higher input systems. But he was able to use metallochlor and a couple of other herbicides in there to make this work, and was able to harvest a crop of peas and harvest the corn. So that's interesting. Data from more recent study, we talked about some of these this morning. that corn yields from carefully planned wide row systems can be at or near those. And this is what my plots looked like in 2014. We had our standard. There we go. You got to wait a second for it. So this is standard. These are 38-inch spacing. That's our standard spacing on with the machinery we had. And then we had twin rows at 76 inches apart. I did not have a floor crop. I did have a deer control device right along here, that white line down there. I can't move my finger right, but anyway, you see it. There you go. So we had some electric fence around there. But imagine all that space in there. The one thing that I wasn't able to do in this system is, in my system, was these are not north-south, which would be the real more benefit. These are actually east-west, and you can see the shadowing in the daytime there. But even with this system, you saw all that space that that corridor had for growing something else. And we only lost about 15% yield. And I did not have the best hybrids in here. I got some hybrids, but I didn't get the ones that they're working on in Missouri and things like that into this system here. But so we had a slight knock on yield. But if we could just find a smidgen more of something else to grow in there. And did you notice that was dry land, by the way? After we irrigated for establishment, we planted into moist ground, and then we didn't irrigate the crop after that. So for smallholder systems, the optimal spacing for the main crop is likely to be different than in the monocrop. So that could be plant population, the spacing within the row, or the spacing between the rows. And again, it'll require the significant cultivar evaluation. That's one of the things I wish I could have done. I was doing this on a shoestring. I wish I could have had 30 or 40 varieties in there, and I wish I had a mechanical harvester to, you know, a plot harvester to take the data. We picked every one of those ears by hand. We shelled every ear by hand. So, and that, with 40 hybrids, I couldn't have done that. But that's what we really need to do. Someone really needs to screen that many, if not more. And then again, it doesn't need to put extra work on it. Cover crops for smallholders could be a really opportune, this could be an opportune system, even though it's possible that the cover crop doesn't contribute directly, but we're going to hear about this in a minute in another way, doesn't contribute directly to the economics of the system, but it can function economically by capturing nutrients, by fixing nitrogen, by helping with weed control, or with insect mitigation. So cover crops could lend themselves to this system very well. Annuals between perennials, vegetables between fruit crops, such as papaya, if you consider the papaya the corn of the study, or the corn of the projects, and then we introduce annuals between, we may have to change the spacing of those perennial crops a little bit to accommodate the annuals. That's, some of that work is already going on, but it fits in with the idea of the solar corridor, and it takes advantage of the space and the time of resource availability. It may be that the floor crop is growing at a slightly different time in the water use cycle of the perennial crop, or the nutrient, it's recovering nutrients in the off season of the perennial crop. So, and then of course there's more traditional annual intercrops, which is how the solar corridor thing all started. And I've been racking my brain on vegetables between the grain rows, between the corn rows. What can we do that's going to be practical and profitable and valuable? The peas between. We talked this morning about southern peas, Vigna, between the corn rows, and we talked about one hybrid of Vigna that went and got viney and wrapped itself around the whole the corn stalks. Well, that wasn't as valuable maybe as having a Vigna crop that was more of a bush type pea, and that would hold itself in the rows better. Relay intercrops, there's a lot of work on that, whether it be we plant a cover crop in the fall or a crop in the fall and then plant the corn in between that crop later, or we go the other direction and we plant into the standing corn crop. All of those are possible with this. And again, you're looking at water, nutrient, and light efficiency and certain amounts of economic gains. Well, let's look at a couple of things that a couple of other folks have done. In wide row wheat with a chickpea crop in between, the total economic return was greater, but of course, just like most intercrops, your component yields of each one was lower, but what's called the land equivalent ratio, that's the sum of the two yields versus what they would have been out as separate monocrops was greater than one, and that's what you want. The big thing about that one for this small holder, and for this, the researcher said for small holders, the value of this system was in the reduced weeding. The chickpea were acted as weed suppressant between the wheat rows, and so there was a lot less weeding to be done than in a traditional system in their work. And the next one down, beans between corn rows. He was advocating kind of what we're talking about with the variety trials. A lot more work needs to be done to evaluate genotypes on these different types of systems. So that's Fininza. The Badisark and Justies in 2010 reported their work on durum wheat and winter pea. And they talked kind of what Leroy talks about a lot is the improved light use when the two crops are growing together. The stature of the two crops, one being shorter than the other, and of slightly different growth periods, allowed more light interception and more efficient use of the light. They had 1 year when the pea growth, early pea growth, was delayed. And that negated the whole effect of the whole value of the system in terms of improving the totality, the total value of the system. So that becomes a point of discussion and a point of research is how do we minimize the chance of things like that happening. And they were strong advocates of developing local data and systems that are focused on the local needs. And again, Kahl et al. Also found that increased light and radiation capture efficiency from this sort of system. And again, like this, the work I reported a minute ago, the yield of each component was slightly reduced, with the monocrop corn being the very most productive system. And that brings the question is, so when would it be appropriate to add beans to that system? When would it be valuable enough for the small holder to add the beans to that system and have the system be a little more complicated? So that raised a question in my head. Again, more on the light from He et al. They found also, in addition to light, they found higher daytime temperatures in the corn, and this would have value in a cooler climate, maybe not in if it got too high. But they also found lower daytime humidities in these mixed systems, and that would have implications for disease incidence also, I would think. So those are the folks that I just talked about in the literature. So basically, I just wanted to present some ideas for discussion today before we move on to the next speaker. And those are the folks that have helped me with this. And I don't think I've left myself any time for questions.